This is Garth Bruin, current Neuralo chair, beginning the Neuralo session here in Dublin at ICANN 54. Welcome, everybody. I have the incoming Neuralo chair to my right, Glenn McKnight, and to my left, I have the current and continuing Neuralo secretary, Judith Hellerstein. We also have with us from Neuralo ALEC, we have Eduardo Diaz. Way down at the other end of the table, so far away from us, we have Ron Sherwood and staff folks, and we have some visitors from AP Rallo, who are always welcome. We are going to be meeting briefly with the new head of compliance, and when he comes, we're going to switch the agenda to him so we can go through some questions quickly, and then we can move on to the rest of our items. Because I guess he has a busy schedule. I have five specific questions for him. If we have time, anybody in the room is welcome to ask their own questions. For the agenda, the first item is action items. Do we have any open action items, Sylvia? Well, Sylvia is looking up the action items. We also have Chris Mondini. We have Joe Capano. And James Cole. So further than the agenda, we also have outreach and engagement from Glenn and Judith. Several sub-items there, analysis of Neuralo meetings, elections.
I see that.
That's funny. Capacity building discussion, how to turn on turned out ALSs, information webinar series, crop outreach strategy, GSC event calendar, working group participation. Agenda item three is that compliance discussion that we talked about, and number four is a policies discussion. Before we begin, I would just like to say that I have really enjoyed being Neuralo chair. This will be my last meeting as Neuralo chair. I was elected to ALAC. I was the chair for 3 years. And I feel like we did some great work together, and it was a cooperative effort. And I couldn't have done it without other people in the region, especially Glenn, especially Evan, especially Eduardo, especially Judith. All of the contributions of the leaders in the region are vital. And I'm looking forward to continuing to working with you all as we go forward. So, did we find the action items?
Yes.
Please, Sylvia.
This is Sylvia Ivanko for the record. We don't have open action items. The items from the last call in were about the Neuralo outreach strategy. And Garth Bruin to add the issue of fiscal year 17, a special request for the next meeting, which is now, and the agenda to do the agenda for
Sylvia. So, and just entering the room, we have our brand new ALAC member, courtesy of the nominating committee, Timothy Denton. Welcome. Reporting for duty. So then, can we go
Hello,
to...
Murray speaking.
Oh, and Murray is on remote. Thank you, Murray. So can we go to the outreach and engagement agenda item with Glenn McKnight and Judith? I'll turn it over to Glenn first. Thank
Judith,
you.
Shall I start first? Glenn McKnight, for the record, I noticed that Murray's on, and perhaps Murray can give some update on perhaps he has a hub. But in terms of the engagement strategy, it starts back to an item that's actually further down the agenda with crop. We are trying to maintain a consistency with previous years' outreach and engagement. And the big thing that with Judith and Sylvia is to look at the existing ALSs. And our ALSs have been, especially the new ones, we had a really good campaign for a while there where we actually signed up a number of ALSs, and they actually, a number of them did not attend our calls. So in our analysis, we have 51% of our ALSs that did not attend a call this year. So that's a pretty serious issue. So I'll talk about it in a minute on the webinar series. In addition to that, in response to the request from Heidi, we created a fairly extensive list month by month of civil society events throughout the year so that we shared it this morning, and we also talked about it today with Adam and JJS have a pretty good strategy for outreach. Myself have been active with two organizations, one, the IGF USA and Aaron. In fact, and I just recently were at McGill, and we had a fantastic class of students who actually learned a lot about ICANN and all. But it was a great networking session at Aaron, as you all know, and we're still trying to build that stronger relationship with Aaron. I'll turn over to Judith.
Judith.
Judith Helstein, for the record. Thanks so much, Glenn, for your leadership on this matter. And we are also working out on trying to get more outreach and engagement and working on getting more people in the region to be more engaged and to know about all the different working groups and all the different ways that they can engage. And one of the ways we're also trying to increase engagement is to try to parcel out some tasks so that it will be an easy way for people to get engaged and finding the smaller tasks for people to give to people so they can start engaging and to get involved, because it's overwhelming when you first come in and you don't know where to go or what to do. And so that's what we're going to try to do this time too, as well as increase our outreach groups that have been disadvantaged.
Okay. Is that the complete summary?
I believe Murray.
Go to Murray. Go ahead, Murray. If Murray could just let us know, maybe via text, when he is ready for comment.
Murray, I was muted. I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Apologies. Thanks to staff for arranging the dial out. I'm not running a remote hub this session, so it's just me at the moment. The only things that I was aware of on outreach topic was, I think Joe is on the call somewhere, the outreach in Canada to McGill and Ottawa and something planned for Toronto in November. But I haven't touched base with Joe as to exactly the nature and date of that event. So that's my report on outreach from Toronto. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Murray. This is Garth Bruin, Neuralo Chair. I'm going to call for an intervention right now. We have Alan Grogan from Compliance with us, and I understand he has a very busy schedule. It's okay. We don't want to keep him waiting. So if staff could you set that timer for 12 minutes so we don't do much Neuralo time? Thank you. Or too much of Alan's time. I'm going to ask a few questions, and then the rest of the region can follow up with their own questions if they want to. Thank you, Alan, for coming. Appreciate it. Appreciate it coming last minute.
We're happy to, and if you want more than 12 minutes, feel free.
I know. I also have to allow time for our normal business. I mean, even though this is part of our normal business. First of all, in terms of talking about ICANN's overall mission and statement, stemming from the AOC and the CWG, consumer trust is a huge issue, and this is part of the framework. And that's actually, it goes into your mission statement department, if I'm not mistaken. So in terms of engendering consumer trust, in reaching out to the consumer, have you developed a consumer-centric presence on ICANN's website that is easy for consumers to navigate?
So I would say a couple of things in response to that. ICANN is really the coordination of the addressing system for the Internet, the names and numbers. That is our primary function. That is what most of us are voted to. As Fadi indicated in his opening remarks this morning, our mission statement is really at that logical layer. It's not at the level of content and commerce and so forth on the Internet. So I think we need to be careful about not extending ICANN's remit beyond what's authorized in our mission statement and our bylaws. In terms of whether we've created a easily accessible, consumer-oriented content on our website, we haven't done so in compliance, and I don't. I frankly couldn't tell you 100% of everything that's on our website. So,
okay. Thank you. This is Garth Bruin. So, I mean, here's my one problem with what you just said. Do you disagree that consumer trust is not part of your department's mission statement? Is that what you're saying?
I'm talking about fundamentally what ICANN's overall remit is.
Is consumer trust part of the affirmation of commitments an obligation?
It is mentioned, yes.
It's mentioned. Is it part of a requirement for a valid transfer authority as far as the CCWG is concerned?
So I'm not involved in that part of this transition, so I don't really want to say that.
Okay. But can you speak to the fact that consumer trust is part of your mission statement as a department?
Not part of our mission statement as a department, as far as I'm aware.
Okay. All right. Moving on. So, have you ever met with the Better Business Bureau in the United States?
Personally, no.
Have you ever met with the Canadian Consumers Union?
No.
Have you ever met with the Coalition Against Online Abuse?
I have to stop and think about what organization that is. I may have met with them.
I mean, perhaps you can give us a list of different types of consumer groups that you've met with since you've been the head of...
So I've met with, it depends on how you define consumer groups. I've met with a number of regulatory agencies.
Agencies are not consumer groups. I'm talking about civilian groups.
Well, so regulatory agencies, a number of them are devoted to protecting consumers. So I think it depends on how you define your terms, right? So the FDA would say they are protecting consumers.
Well, the FDA is a government body that's funded by the U.S. government. I'm talking about organizations that are privately dedicated to protecting consumers.
So I've met with a number of them. I've met with LegitScript, who's involved in voluntary practices to try to combat abuse by rogue online pharmacies. I've met with CSIP, the Center for Safe Internet Pharmacies. I've met with, again, privately funded, I've met with several organizations involved in IP protection, whether you consider that consumer protection or whether you consider that to be protection of business interests.
Well, the IPC and the business are stakeholder groups here. I'm talking about specifically
from... So the Coalition for Online Accountability, I believe, I've met with.
Okay.
Met with the MPAA. I don't know. You know, again, it depends on who you...
The Motion Picture Association?
Yes.
That's an industry group. I'm talking about consumer groups. Okay. So now, and Fadi is boasted of this a number of times, you now are up to, is it 25 staff members in the compliance department?
Yes.
Okay. How many of those staff members, now that your department has swelled, how many of those staff members are directly engaged in working with consumers, addressing consumer issues?
So there's not a single staff member that's solely committed to that. I see Maggie stepping up. Do you want a question?
This is Maggie Surratt for the record. So the SPICE staff members, as when Fadi announced Alan Grogan's becoming our chief compliance officer, is that the department that reported to me will continue to report to me in that capacity, and that Alan has taken on a role that oversees contractual compliance and safeguards. I'm not aware that Alan has consumer responsibilities in that aspect. But to answer the direct question from you, Garf, the compliance department continues to function as has always been.
Which means that you don't really have a direct consumer interface.
I'm not sure I understand the point you're trying to make with consumer. If you can clarify, I can try to address it.
What on ICANN's website would be accessible to an ordinary internet user if they wanted to resolve an issue or report abuse?
So I can address that. We just recently posted a video that was produced with Maggie and other staff members that has had actually a huge number of hits. I could give you the statistics on that if you want to give me a minute, that explains what people need to do to report abuse and how to do it. And that was directed directly at consumers. That was a user-friendly tool to allow consumers to understand what ICANN compliance does and how they can report issues.
Nope, that's good to hear. I will watch the video. Of course, we've read the various blogs that you've posted. There have been three major blogs. Are there more than that, than compliance director?
I think three is correct.
Okay. So I read these blogs in detail, and of course they've been, you know, the source of a lot of discussion. And you spent a lot of time talking about how IGAN is not the content police. We can't tackle issues of blasphemy, of hate speech, pornography, et cetera, et cetera. You go into detail about how many of the complaints you receive are confusing, invalid, they don't have the right details, they're out of scope. And that seems to be like bulk of the discussion in these blogs. So I actually took a look at the last compliance report from the last quarter. And according to your own numbers, 96.7% compliance complaints are directly about contractual matters. The bulk of them are who is inaccuracy and transfer issues. The abuse issues accounts for 0.7%. Given that the abuse statistics are really low in comparison to the contractual issues, the direct contractual issues, why are you spending so much time with the rhetoric about consumers not understanding and not reporting things correctly?
The reason we're doing that is because we're getting a lot of requests from people within the community to address those questions. The who is inaccuracy issues are fairly easy to deal with. We get a lot of complaints from various constituents within the ICANN community about the failure to address other matters, and one of the things that I wanted to raise in a dialogue with the community was whether those things are properly within our remit or whether they're outside the scope of our remit, and whether those are within the scope of our contractual enforcement abilities or whether they're outside the scope of our contractual enforcement abilities. And to the extent that they're outside the scope of our contractual enforcement abilities, I'm not saying we won't address them. Saying that the role that we play in addressing them may be different, because if there's not a contract provision that's being breached, we are a contract compliance department. That's the scope of our ability to take any action is in response to breach of a contract provision. But I don't think we should absolve ourselves of our responsibility for helping others to find solutions to complex problems. And that's one of the reasons that I've convened a session at meeting to talk about voluntary practices, which have been successfully employed in a variety of industries to address issues of abuse and illegal activity.
That's the extent of my questions. Is there anybody else from the region who would like to ask Mr. Grogan a question? Nope, that's the case. We thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
What? Somebody has a remote question?
No, but could you send us the title and location of the video, because it wasn't obvious where it was. Thanks so much.
Sure, we'll do that.
Send it to the at-large staff. Okay. Next agenda item. Are we still on outreach? Capacity building. Go ahead.
This is Judith Ellison for the record. We're on the section called capacity building discussions, how to turn down ALSs. And one of the issues that we're finding out is that several of our ALSs have said they would like to engage, and they are not really sure how to engage. And I know our staff has created a series of onboarding videos, webinars, describing what the working groups are, how they're set up, how to get involved, which ones they can get involved in. And we'll be scheduling our sessions with the different ALSs so that they can get this information. And then we'll also, I've sent people information about their ALSs on what particular groups are open and not, and how to get involved. And we're always looking for more information and more people to get involved with. So we will also, after that session, probably recirculate the list of how to get involved in a different group. And also try to find some smaller some ways to get people engaged by doing small little jobs of like one of our interesting things that we want to do a lot more work with Aaron, who is our MOU. So we are going to create a liaison position and have some of these smaller positions that we could then get people to become more active by taking on a small concrete task that won't take up that much time, and then they can get more involved and really more engaged. Glenn, do you want to add anything?
Thanks, Glenn, for the record. As Judith has mentioned, a number of us have attended the Aaron, Darlene Thompson, Leah, myself, Evan, and we've always encouraged to the Narello members to take advantage of the fellowship program offered by Aaron, and it works out that one from Canada, at least two from the United States, and some Aaron's jurisdiction is slightly different than. So I've done some analysis of their fellowship program, and they're very similar to us. A lot of them on and don't come back to another, really participate, don't become advisors. So there's some issues there, and so they're looking for solutions. In fact, they have a problem of finding enough people to fill the fellowship program. And they said they'd be happy to do some kind of internship program. So Leah is a really ideal person from the San Francisco ISOC chapter, and she's very excited as well. So we're working. We met with the Richard Jim talking about how we can be more involved. Louis Lee also suggested that a permanent person for every session from Narello to be at the Aaron sessions, so which is exciting. We moved a long way on our relationship with our RAR, so that's pretty exciting. If I can turn back to our series, it's not just formal webinars we want. As Judith did some research by calling some of the ALSs, and my gosh, so many of them are overwhelmed when they go to the website, where to go, how to find stuff out. And we want to open-ended calls so people can call in, and whatever the question is, we can try to answer them. So don't want to pre-subscribe what they should learn. But the other thing is that we found a number. There's a long list of people who said part of working groups, whether it's accessibility or task force. In reality, a really small hand up. So one of the jobs we're doing is trying to educate the aspects which we forgot to mention. Bartle's fantastic monthly newsletter. Bartle, so if he can talk about the newsletter.
The newsletter? What do you want to know about the newsletter?
How great it is.
How great it is. Well, it's very great. You know, I'm the one doing it. But anyhow, we're using Constant Content, and I think the first issue got like 30% hit, and I don't know, the second one got about 30%. I don't know about the third one, how many. So there are statistics that we can track to see if it's tracking, you know, people are engaging and reading it. So, you know, this effort is mostly, it's another channel to keep, you know, receiving in your email something every month that might entice, you know, the region to look into what we are doing, and specifically to the Narralo. So that's what I look for information from the region, and I try to put it there, and I'm open to ideas. And my patient with the newsletter, that it might take 2 years, you know, to get something that we'll expect. So this is not something that's going to happen from one next to the other one. And I expect in the future that, you know, other people get involved in you know, in generating the content.
Wonderful. All right. What agenda item are we on now? Crop report.
Yeah, the crop was due. David Raylos had to produce an actual strategy. Fantastic idea. It wasn't done in the past. Strategy with great feedback from Joe. So it's moved on to, and it's approved. And we have a number of crop trips. Now, one of the things we're asking the community members interested in, let us know. We did discuss it at two of our meetings, but I think we're dropping because timeline issue the South by Southwest.
Well, this is Judith Ellison for the record. What we put on our crop outreach strategy is just examples of similar types of programs that are having. We have more to put on, but we were just looking at some examples, and this is what we did last year. Our aim for our outreach strategy is that we want to sort of look at some of the regions that we haven't gone, look at some of the areas we want to get new members on, and sort of go look at these areas and how we can do it. But we were also looking at figuring out where we can engage members, and wanting to get members more involved. And so we have 5 trips, but we would like to have them done by different members of Narralo and don't have any repeat customers. And also with the new civil society outreach that Chris and Jean-Jacques are doing, we may try to look at different other ways how we could do more closer partnerships, because what we found in our past Novalo trips is that when we didn't have a close engagement with some ICANN staff, the trip did not get as high an engagement. One of the successes we've had with N10 is that we were able to get panel slots, and we were able to get other from ICANN on panels. Similarly, a success we had in IEEE is that our CROP attendee was able to get on a panel. And so that's also the larger conferences that is harder to do, as those are done over a year in advance. So we're looking at smaller tech conferences in smaller areas where we could partner with others and go out to another group who we haven't gone out to. So we're talking to different other groups who we haven't gone to and seeing more about their conferences and where we can get involved. And some of the areas that we're looking into are the disadvantaged areas, whether it's an accessibility or technology conference geared at that, or other areas where nonprofit technology or we've done engineering. We were looking at maybe also doing a youth and trying to get a tech and IT and some of the great stuff that Glenn has been doing, getting kids involved with make affairs and other areas and get more different people. And so we're going to be sort of expanding our group from what these are, trying to figure out where's the best way, and maybe working closely also with Chris's staff and with Jean-Jacques Chahel's to get a more comprehensive sort of looking at where we can do an engagement. But we're off to a later start this year because of the strategy, the new rules of putting a strategy document and having it approved and losing a couple of months of time in that in the run-up this year.
Thank you. This is Garth Brown again. I'm glad that Joe Capitano and Chris Mondini are here. I received some grumbles from my membership, especially our Canadian members, that there wasn't a coordination between your tours of Canada and the local ALSs. And the local ALSs in Canada felt that they should have been informed and the region should have been informed of the outreach tour that you folks were involved in. And wondering if either of you had a minute to just talk about that.
Hi, it's Chris Mondini. Certainly would like to coordinate better with the ALSs, and we'll do so going forward. There's a community outreach calendar. I don't know that it's updated in real time or in say real time. And quite frankly, with regard to Canada specifically, our appearances there haven't, you know, we've had the idea of coming to Canada, and then it takes months for things to gel. And I certainly think that we could keep you better informed as those things are gelling. So sometimes I think we say, 3 months hence, and then you don't hear from us for 2 months. We might still be scrambling to make that happen. But getting your help to make it happen and make it gel, I think, is part of the point that you make. And so if you can certainly bring the numbers, find the venues, find the co-hosts, find the sponsors, all of these things are very welcome, and we'll lean on you and update you more aggressively going forward.
Thank you, Chris. I mean, just seriously, I think that our membership would love the ability to engage with ICANN staff locally if they appear locally. And this is very important. So if you're going anywhere in our region, and I can't speak to the other regions, but I imagine they would feel the same way, we got to know about it. Just as a curious question, who were you meeting with when these events took place, if it wasn't at large?
So the visits to Canada have mostly been attendance at various sort of ISTAR technical organization groups. And also there was the CIRA organized event that was in Ottawa. I think there were actually two. One was the Canadian Forum. So, and Joe. So there's been, I was in Vancouver at IEF. We've been showing up at conferences, the technical conferences, and then the other.
Garth again. So just, I think we can help point you in the right direction, especially in terms of meeting with groups who might not otherwise be on your radar. So definitely in the loop. Okay, we also have GSE event calendar. Who would like to cover that? Oh, you already did this one. That's we.
Yeah, let me just. Okay. So in the last 2 days, we've been discussing the document. This is a document that was also presented this morning. The second half of the document was largely what all of us contributed, all four of us. And what's really important with that is I think the stuff that Eduardo has put in, because it really is seminal stuff leading up to the ICANN Puerto Rico. So I really want on Eduardo to talk about the series of events.
I had a meeting with Chris and Joe about that, but basically we're celebrating the Internet Day the 29th. I was in a meeting now with the people there. We're doing the technical stuff. And the idea there is to get momentum going. In fact, we're going to talk about a little bit about the ecosystem. We're going to talk about ISO and ICANN and all this ecosystem in that meeting for half an hour or 45 minutes. I don't remember how much it is. So we can start talking about, you know, what ICANN is and ISOC is. Most people in Puerto Rico, and I guess somewhere, many places, they don't know what ICANN is. So the idea is that we have all these events towards getting, motivating people to get into ICANN meeting by the end of next year. But we want to get the people there knowing ICANN is and what ISOC is and the IETF and IRIN. They know what IRIN means. And so the first thing we're doing is this. And then in January, I'm inviting Chris and Joe and some people from ISOC to go to this meeting where a bunch of university presidents are going to be there to talk. We want them to hear about ICANN and ISOC, the same thing, but in more detail. And the idea there is that, you know, once they learn about this, we want to have a way of, through this consortium with the other ALS, we want to go and use that connection to go to these universities because we want to go down to the students level and try to make sure that these people, we keep them learning about ICANN and ISOC. We have a general assembly for our Internet Society membership in May. But there's another big, there are a couple more events that are happening in the summer. One is called Virtual Educa, which is an academic convention. And there is one that is going to happen with the regional telecommunications in the Caribbean and in Puerto Rico. It's called the CANTO. I don't know if you know about that organization. It has to do with telecommunications and the regulators. So we're planning to join those there. And from the summer all the way up of the end of ICANN, then, you know, we want to have a couple of seminars to get people, to keep thinking about this, but then mostly virtually. That's the idea. Maybe it might change. Okay.
And it is Judith Ellison for the record. And also, we've also been meeting with Jeff Dunn and Lauren Allison, the staff on the new generation, right now, because of the way the fellowship is structured by focusing on countries that meet certain World Bank criteria, we are unable to get a lot of new people who just starting out to get involved. And so one of the ways we're focusing on is on ICANN's new program for new generation, which is focusing on the ICANN events in the region and looking at the local university students and doing some outreach to them, and I'm bringing 15 of them to an ICANN meeting, and we are working with them on that. And then also Eduardo's going to talk about some of the ideas he had since event is going to be in Puerto Rico, and there's a large university there, it's, it'll be a great opportunity to get more of those students get involved. And we saw some of how great that was when we were in Singapore, when for the showcase, when several of these university students did a display and traveled over a day to come and learn in ICANN, and how great an experience was for them. And we hope to have the same kind of experience in Puerto Rico for the university. And so give Eduardo a few minutes to talk about
that. Well, the idea is that, you know, my objective is to get there about 200 of these people, and not only students, but on the technical professional side too. I might be getting less, I might be getting more, I don't know. But the idea is that this program of the next generation is already structured. And I'm not thinking about doing it the next generation as such, but the structure that they use, it might help to put something together, because you bring these people there and then do what? So we need to think about that. Maybe, you know, we talk about, I don't know if it was with you or you were talking about ambassadors or hosts, because I'm not thinking about bringing these people one day. I want them to come every day. You know, in Puerto Rico, you just take a car and get there. It doesn't cost money. Everybody has a car. Sometimes they have five cars. So don't worry. They will get there. And there is no cost, because there is no hotels to stay or anything like that. So, you know, the meeting is free. So there is a motivation to go there and meet. Cost-wise, I don't think it's going to cost that much. And the idea is to bring people through the whole week. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it the whole week, but I will do that. So that's what I have in mind. Thank you.
Okay. Do we need to discuss the working group participation?
No.
Do you want to talk about elections? Was on the agenda item. Do we need to talk? Okay. This is Garth Brune again. I was wondering if I could get Timothy Denton to just introduce himself very briefly on the record. He's one of our newest members, and we just want to know more about him. Thank you.
Sure. What did I know, and when did I want to know it? Anyway, hi. I'm Tim Denton. I'm originally a lawyer by background. Before that, philosophy and political science in university. Started in government. Then had a long career in various telecommunications, moving gradually into internet-related stuff. Got to ICANN in 1999 with the registrar's 2 years of ICANN, and then business led away back to Canada. I was a federal regulator in the telecom and broadcast, and I'm now out. Here I am, by occult and unknown to me processes of how you get anywhere. But I have been around this waterhole in various times and places, and have been for a long time a big fan of the how the internet does things as opposed to how the ITU does things. Well, finally, I should say that for the last 6 years, during my time at the CRTC, I was also appointed to the elected to the board of the American Registry of Internet there. I'm also chairman of the show. I got a lot of business cards. And that's about it. Thank you, Garth.
Thank you, Timothy. Well, it's good. I think that your background is going to be useful here. So just let me, you were an attorney for the registrar's constituency?
No, I was working for Two Cows, the Toronto Registrar. And at one point, I was secretary of the registrar's. Still have maintained good relations with Two Cows over the years, and they have occasion in telecom matters.
Great. No, I think that this will add a useful perspective to the region. Before we go to any other business, I want to enter something into the transcript, and I'm sorry I didn't have it in front of me while Alan Grogan was here, but this is the official contractual compliance mission statement from an ICANN document. Contracts are enforced through contractual compliance. The mission is to preserve the security, stability, and resiliency of the domain name system and to promote consumer trust through prevention, transparency, and enforcement. Okay, I just wanted that to be part of the record. Now on to any other business. Does anybody from the region have any other items to discuss? Anybody on the remote chat have any items? Anything staff coming in from the remotely? Okay, Judith would like to talk about the captioning. This is a very, very important program. Thank you.
So as you probably have heard me talk about this other times, as Judith Helsing for the record, we are starting in the next month or so, a captioning pilot to make our meetings and our virtual meetings more accessible, not only to people with accessibility needs, but also to people whose native language is not English, and to people with limited bandwidth. And in within the U.S., that is also a lot of our areas that are in the rural, in the remote rural areas or rural areas of the country, and also on the Native American or First Canadian reservations who want to go in. And we last year we had a couple of them, and we're trying to get more involved. And so we want to make them a place to be more engaged within the U.S. And so I have flyers that talk about by connecting the world and making it more accessible, we can make sure the internet is available to all. And it has our captioning at the back, some basic information that can be found on our page. But we'd love to look at the criteria. We would love to have as many people suggest working groups or meetings that they would like caption, and let us know.
Thank you, Judith. The accessibility working group meeting is tomorrow in the morning, or is it Wednesday?
Tomorrow, the meeting is tomorrow morning at 9:45.
Thank you. Glenn, you have your hand up, please.
Yeah, this has been initiative jointly, a technical task force and accessibility. I'd like to thank staff for the generosity of print cards. And I burst with the wrong colors. So just as there is official colors with ICANN, so for the if you do this sort of thing in the future, find out first what the color schemes and font and all. It's great to have the cards. In addition, we also produced a technical task force newsletter. Every ICANN meeting, we produce one. It's everything from how to buy a local SIM card, location. We did it electronically to all the ALAC members, so we have paper copies that.
All right. This is Garth. I have one suggestion for any future cards. Instead of putting in a QC or a barcode that a blind person could hold up to the card and it would describe what was on the card for them. Excellent. Thank you for this great work. It's very, very important. Thank you so much.
We did think about the QR code we could have done, but the Braille cards would have made it too expensive for this right now for getting it through. That will be something in the future what we will think about. But that would be a great idea. I think the QR codes would be good.
Thank you so much. Any other business? Any other items to be entered into the Naralo record?
Thank the chairman for the brevity of the meeting and the pointedness of the discussion.
You're welcome. This is how I always do it.
Why I'm thanking you.
Okay. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.